Chapter 21. Ararat, 2675. Skade lay half cocooned in ice and the frozen black froth of inhibitor machinery. She was still alive. This much was clear as they squeezed through the narrow, crimped opening of the crushed bulkhead. From the control couch, in which she still lay, Skade's head tilted slightly in their direction, the merest glaze of interest troubling the smooth composure of her face. The fingers of one white, gauntleted hand hovered above a portable holoclavier, propped in her lap, the fingers becoming a blur of white in time and the gun-like salvos of music. The music stopped as her hand moved away from the keyboard.
"I was beginning to wonder what had kept you."
"I've come for my child, bitch," Curry said. Skade showed no sign of having heard her.
"What happened, Clavaine?"
"A little mishap.
The wolves took your hand. How unfortunate."
Clavaine showed her the knife.
"I did what had to be done. Recognize this, Skade. Today wasn't the first time it saved my life. I used it to cut the membrane around the comet when you and I had that little disagreement over the future policy of the Mother Nest. You do remember, don't you?"
"There's been a lot of water under the bridge since I last saw that knife.
I still had my old body then." "I'm sorry about what happened, but I only did what I had to do. Put me back there now, I'd do the same thing again."
"I don't doubt it for a moment, Clavaine.
No matter what people say, you always were a man of conviction." "We've come for the child," he said.
She acknowledged Curry with the tiniest of nods.
"I had gathered."
"Are you going to hand her over, or is this going to become tedious and messy?"
"Which way would you prefer it, Clavaine?"
"Listen to me, Skade. It's over. Whatever happened between you and me, whatever harm we did each other, whatever loyalties we believed in, none of that matters anymore."
"That's exactly what I told Remontois."
"But you did negotiate," Clavaine said. "We know that much. So let's take it to the limit. Let's join forces again. Give Ara back to us and we'll share everything she tells us. It'll be better for all of us in the long run."
"What do I care about the long run, Clavaine?
I'm never going to see the outside of this ship again."
"If you're hurt, we can help you."
"I really don't think so."
"Give me Ara,"
Curry demanded. Scorpio stepped closer, taking a better look at the injured conjoiner. She wore armor of a very pale shade, perhaps even white. Camelioflage armor, probably. The outer integument had tuned itself to match the color of the ice that had condensed or ruptured through into the cabin before the lighting failed. The suit was styled in the manner of medieval armor, with bulbous sliding plates covering the limb joints and an exaggerated breastplate. There was a cinched feminine waist above a skirt-like flaring. The rest of the body, below the waist, Scorpio could not see at all. It vanished into ice that pinned Skade neatly in place like a doll for sale. All around her, in little aggregations of blackness, were warty clumps of inhibitor machinery. But none were touching Skade, and none appeared active at the moment.
"You can have Ara," she said, "at, of course, a price."
"We're not paying for her," Clavaine said. His voice was faint and hoarse, stripped of strength.
"You're the one who mentioned negotiation," Skade said. "Or were you thinking more along the lines of a threat?"
"Where is she?"
Skade moved one of her arms. The armor creaked as it budged, dislodging curtains of frost. She tapped the hard plate covering her abdomen.
"She's here. In me. I'm keeping her alive."
Clavaine glanced back at Curry, his eyes conveying the admission that, finally, everything she had told them had turned out to be true.
"Good,"
he said, turning his attention back to Skade.
"I'm grateful. But now her mother needs her back."
"As if you care about her mother,"
Skade said, mocking him with an adversarial smile. "As if you truly care about the fate of a child."
"I came all this way for that child."
"You came all this way for an asset," Skade corrected.
"And I suppose the child means vastly more to you than that."
"Enough,"
Scorpio interrupted. "We haven't got time for this. We came for Curry's child. Fuck the reasons. Just hand her over."
"Hand her over?"
Now Skade laughed at the pig.
"Did you honestly think it was going to be that easy? The child is in me. It's in my womb, wired into my circulatory system."
"She,"
Curry insisted. Aura isn't an it, you heartless piece of shit.
She isn't human either, Skade said, no matter what you might think. Her head tracked back towards Clavain.
Yes, I had Delmar culture me another body, just as he'd always intended. I'm all flesh from the neck down. Even the womb is more organ than machine. Face it, Neville. I'm more alive than you are, now that you've lost that hand.
You were always a machine, Skade. You just didn't realize it.
If you're saying I only ever did my duty, then I accept that. Machines do have a certain dignity. They're not capable of betrayal or disloyalty. They're not capable of treason.
I didn't come here for a lesson in ethics.
Aren't you curious about what happened to my ship? Don't you like my fabulous palace of ice? She gestured around her, as if inviting commentary on her choice of decor. I made it especially for you.
Actually, I think something went wrong with your cryo-arithmetic engines, Clavain said.
Skade pouted. Go ahead. Dismiss my efforts.
What happened? Scorpio asked quietly.
She sighed. Don't expect to understand. The finest minds in the Mother Nest barely grasp the underlying principles. You don't even have the intelligence of a baseline human. You're just a pig.
I'd really appreciate it if you didn't call me that.
Or you'll what? You can't hurt me, not while I'm carrying Aura. I die, she dies. It's that simple.
Nice hostage setup, Clavain said.
I'm not saying it was easy. Our respective immune systems needed a great deal of tinkering before we stopped rejecting each other. Skade's eyes flashed to Curry. Don't even think about taking her back into your womb now. I'm afraid the two of you just aren't remotely compatible.
Curry started to say something, but Clavain quickly raised his good hand, talking over her. Then you are willing to negotiate, he said, or else you wouldn't have needed to warn her about compatibility.
Skade's attention remained on Curry. You can walk out of here with Aura. There should still be functional surgical tools aboard this ship. I can talk you through the caesarean. Otherwise, I'm sure you can improvise. After all, it's not brain surgery. She looked at Clavain. You did bring a life support unit, didn't you?
Of course.
Then we're all set. I still have neural connections with Aura's mind. I can put her into a temporary coma until the surgery is over.
I found a surgical box, Jakatet said, shoving a heavy black case across the ruined floor. A bas-relief caduceus stood out from its surface, rimed with frost. Even if this doesn't work, we've probably got all the tools we need in our own emergency kits. Open it, Clavain said.
There was something hollow about his voice, as if he grasped something that everyone else was missing. The box sprung open, seals hissing, divesting itself of many cunningly packed trays. Surgical instruments made of matte white metal sat in neat foam inlays. The instruments, all looped finger holes and precisely hinged mechanisms, made Scorpio think of some weird alien cutlery. They were all made of dumb matter, designed to be used in field surgery situations where rogue nanomachinery might corrupt smarter, more subtle instruments.
Need some help? Skade asked.
Jakatet's gloved fingers lifted one of the instruments from its nest. His hand trembled.
I'm not really a surgeon, he said. I've had security arm medical training, but that didn't stretch to field operations.
No matter, Skade said. As I said, I can talk you through it. It has to be you see. The pig lacks the necessary dexterity, and Curry has far too much of an emotional investment. And Clavain? Well, that's obvious, isn't it?
It isn't just because of my hand, Clavain said.
No, not just that, Skade agreed.
Tell them, Clavain said.
Clavain can't do the procedure, Skade said, addressing the other three as if Clavain were not present at all, because he won't be alive. Not by the end of it, anyway. This is the arrangement. You walk out of here with Aura, and Clavain dies, here and now. No negotiation, no argument over the terms. It either happens this way or it doesn't happen at all. It's entirely up to you.
You can't do this, Scorpio said.
Perhaps you didn't hear me. Clavain dies. Aura lives. You walk out of here with what you came for. How can that not be a satisfactory result?
Not this way, Curry said. Please, not this way.
I'm afraid I've already given the matter a great deal of consideration. I am dying, you see. This palace will also be my mausoleum. The options, for me at least, are remarkably restricted. If I die, I take Aura with me. Humanity, whatever that means, will lose whatever gifts she carries. But if I give her to you, those gifts may be put to some practical use. In the long run, it may not be the difference between extinction and survival, but it may be the difference between extinction now, this century, and extinction a few thousand years down the line. Not much of a stay of execution, really. But human nature being what it is, I'm sure we'll take what we're given.
She might make more of a difference than that, Clavaine said.
Well, that's not something you or I will ever know. But I take your point. Aura's value is, as yet, indeterminate. That's why she remains such a prized asset.
So give her up, Curry said. Give her up and do something good for once in your fucking existence.
Brought her along to help oil the negotiations, did you?
Skade asked, winking at Clavaine.
For an agonizing moment, they might have been old friends sharing a humorous recollection.
It's all right, Clavaine said to Curry. We'll get Aura back for you.
No, Clavaine, not this way, she said.
This is the only way it's going to happen, he said. Trust me, I know, Skade. Once she's made her mind up, it stays made up.
I'm glad you understand that, Skade said, and you're right. There is no flexibility in my position. We could kill her, Curry said. Kill her and operate quickly.
Worth a try, Scorpio said.
Often in Chasm City, for the purposes of deterrence, he had been called upon to kill people with maximum slowness. He thought now of all the swift ways he knew to end the life of a sentient being. Those methods had their uses, too. Mercy, executions, button jobs. Some of them were very swift indeed. The only drawback was that he had never knowingly tried any of his methods on a conjoiner. He had certainly never killed the conjoiner carrying a hostage in their womb.
She won't let it happen, Clavaine said soothingly.
He touched Curry's arm.
She'd find a way to kill Aura before we got to her. But it's all right. This is the way it has to be.
No, Clavaine, Curry repeated.
He shushed her.
I came here to secure Aura's release. That's still my mission objective.
I don't want you to die.
Scorpio saw a smile crinkle the skin at the corners of Clavaine's eyes.
No, I doubt that you do. Frankly, I don't want to either. Funny how these things seem a lot less attractive when it's someone else doing the deciding for you. But Skade's made up her mind, and this is how it's going to happen.
I suggest we get a move on, Skade interrupted.
Wait, Scorpio said.
The words had an unreality in his head as he marshaled what he was about to say.
If we give you Clavaine, and you kill him, what's to stop you reneging on your part of the deal?
She's thought of that, Clavaine said. Of course I have, Skade answered, and I've also considered the opposite scenario. What's to prevent you from taking Clavaine away if I give you Aura first? Clearly our mutual trust is an insufficient guarantee of compliance, so I've devised a solution I believe both parties will find entirely satisfactory.
Tell them, Clavaine said.
Skade gestured at Jakotet.
You, security man, will perform the caesarean.
Then her attention flicked to Scorpio.
You, pig, will perform the execution of Clavaine.
I will direct both procedures, incision by incision. They will take place in parallel, step by step. One must last precisely as long as the other.
No,
Scorpio gasped, as the horror of her words slammed home.
The message isn't getting through, is it? Skade asked. Shall I kill her now and be done with it?
No, Clavaine said. He turned to his friend. Scorp, you have to do this. I know you have the strength to do it. You've already shown me that 1,000 times. Do it, friend, and end this. I can't. It's the hardest thing anyone's ever asked you to do. I know that, but I'm still asking.
Scorpio could only say the same thing again.
I can't. You must.
No, said another voice. He doesn't have to. I'll do it.
All of them, including Skade, followed the voice to its source. There, framed in a ruined bulkhead, was Vasco Malinin. He had a gun in his hand and looked as cold and bewildered as the rest of them.
I'll do it, he repeated. He had obviously been standing there for some time, unnoticed by those present.
You were given orders to stay outside,
Scorpio said. Blood countermanded them.
Blood, Scorpio repeated. Erton and I heard gunfire. It sounded as if it was coming from inside here. I contacted Blood and he gave me permission to investigate.
Leaving Erton alone outside?
Not for long, sir. Blood's sending a plane. It'll be here in under an hour.
That isn't the way it's supposed to happen, Scorpio said.
Pardon, sir, but Blood's view was that once shooting started, it was time to tear up the rules.
You can't argue with that, Clavain said.
Scorpio nodded, still burdened by the vast weight of what lay before him. He could not let Vasco do it, no matter how devoutly he wished to abdicate this particular responsibility.
Anything else to report?
He asked. The sea's funny, sir. It's greener, and there are mounds of biomass appearing all around the iceberg, as far as the eye can see.
Juggler activity, Clavain said. Blood already told us it was hotting up.
That's not all, sir. More reports of things in the sky. Eyewitnesses even say they've seen things re-entering.
The battle's coming closer, Clavain said, with something close to anticipation. Well, Skade, I don't think any of us really want to delay things now, do we?
Wiser words were never spoken, she said.
You tell us how you want it done. I presume we'll need to get that armor off you first.
I'll deal with that, she said. In the meantime, make sure you have the incubator ready.
Scorpio made a shooting gesture in Vasco's direction. Return to the boat. Inform Blood that we are in the process of delicate negotiations. Then bring the incubator back through the iceberg.
I'll do that, sir. But seriously, I know how hard it is for you to...
Vasco could not complete his sentence.
What I mean is, I'm willing to do it.
I know, Scorpio said, but I'm his friend.
The one thing I know is that I wouldn't want anyone else to have this on their conscience.
There'll be nothing on your conscience, Scorp, Clavain said.
No, Scorpio thought, there'd be nothing on his conscience. Nothing save the fact that he had tortured his best friend, his only genuine human friend, to death, slowly, in return for the life of a child he neither knew nor cared for. So what if he had no choice in the matter? So what if it was only what Clavain wanted him to do? None of that made it any easier to do, or would make it any easier to live with in times to come. Because he knew that what happened in the next half hour, he did not think the procedure could last much longer than that, would surely be burned into his memory as indelibly as the self-inflicted scar on his shoulder, the one that covered his original emerald-green tattoo of human ownership. Perhaps it would be faster than that. And perhaps Clavain would really suffer very little. After all, he had managed to block most of the pain when he lost the hand. Presumably, it was within his power to establish a more comprehensive set of neural barricades, nulling the agony Skade sought to inflict. But she would know that, wouldn't she?
Go, now, he said to Vasco, and don't return immediately.
I'll be back, sir. Vasco hesitated at the bulkhead, studying the little tableau as if committing it to memory. Scorpio read his mind. Vasco knew that when he returned, Clavain would not be amongst the living.
Son, Clavain said, do as the man says. I'll be all right. I appreciate your concern.
I wish I could do something, sir.
You can't. Not here, not now. That's another of those difficult lessons. Sometimes you can't do the right thing. You just have to walk away and fight another day. Tough medicine, son. But sooner or later, we all have to swallow it.
I understand, sir.
I haven't known you that long, but it's been long enough for me to form a reasonable impression of your abilities. You're a good man, Vasco. The colony needs you, and it needs others like you. Respect that need, and don't let the colony down.
Sir,
Vasco said, when this is done, we'll have Aura again. First and foremost, she's her mother's daughter. Don't ever let anyone forget that.
I won't, sir.
But she's also ours. She'll be fragile, Vasco. She'll need protecting as she grows up. That's the task I'm giving you and your generation. Take care of that girl, because she may be the last thing that matters.
I'll take care of her, sir. Vasco looked at Curry as if seeking permission. We'll all take care of her. That's a promise.
You sound as if you mean it. I can trust you, can't I?
I'll do my best, sir.
Clavain nodded, weary, resigned, facing an abyss the depth of which only he could comprehend.
That's all I've ever done, too. Mostly it's been good enough. Now go, please, and give my regards to Blood.
Vasco hesitated again, as if there was something more he wished to say. But whatever words he intended remained unsaid. He turned and was gone.
Why did you want to get rid of him?
Scorpio asked after a few seconds had passed.
Because I don't want him to see one moment of this.
I'll make it as quick as she'll let me, Scorpio said.
If Jakatet works fast, I can work fast as well. Isn't that right, Skade?
You'll work as fast as I dictate, and no faster.
Don't make this any harder than it has to be, Scorpio said.
It won't hurt him, will it? Curry said. He can turn off the pain, can't he?
I was coming to that, Skade said with an obvious reptilian delight in her own cunning.
Clavain, explain to your friends what you will allow to happen, please.
I have no choice, do I?
Not if you want this to go ahead.
Clavain scratched at his brow. It was pale with frost, his eyebrows pure ermine white.
Since I entered this room, Skade has been trying to override my neural barricades. She's been launching attack algorithms against my standard security layers and firewalls, trying to hijack deeper control structures. Take my word for it. She's very good. The only thing stopping her is the antiquated nature of my implants. For her, it's like trying to hack into a clockwork calculator. Her methods are too advanced for the battleground.
So?
Curry said, squinting as if she were missing something obvious.
If she could penetrate those layers, Clavain said, she could override any pain blocks I cared to install. She could open them all, one by one, like water release valves in a dam, letting the pain flow through.
But she can't get at them, can she?
Scorpio asked. Not unless I let her. Not unless I invite her in and give her complete control.
But you'd never do that.
I wouldn't, he said, unless, of course, she demanded it of me.
Skate, please,
Curry said.
Lower those blockades,
Skade said, ignoring the woman. Lower them and let me in.
If you don't, the deal's off. Aura dies now.
Clavain closed his eyes for a moment fractionally longer than a blink. It was only an instant, but for Clavain it must have involved the issuing of many intricate, rarely used neural management commands, rescinding standard security states that had probably remained frozen for decades. He opened his eyes.
It's done, he said. You have control.
Let's make sure, shall we?
Clavain made a noise somewhere between a moan and a yelp. He clutched at the bandaged stump of his left hand, his jaw stiffening. Scorpio saw the tendons in his neck stand out like guy lines.
I think you have it, Clavain said, teeth clenched.
I'm locked in now, Skade told her audience. He can't throw me out or block my commands.
Get this over with,
Clavain said. Again, there was an easing in his expression, like the change of light on a landscape. Scorpio understood. If Skade was going to torture him, she would not want to ruin her carefully orchestrated efforts with an extraneous pain source, especially one that had never been part of her plan. Skade reached down to her belly with both gauntleted hands. No seam had been visible in her armor before, but now the curved white plate that covered her abdomen detached itself from the rest of the suit. Skade placed it next to her, then returned her hands to her sides. Where the armor had been opened, a bulge of soft human flesh moved under the thin, cross-hatched mesh of a vacuum suit inner layer.
We're ready, she said.
Jakotet moved towards her and knelt down, one knee resting on the mound of fused ice that covered Skade's lower half. The black box of white surgical instruments sat splayed open at his side.
Pig, she said, take a scalpel from the lower compartment. That will do for now.
Scorpio's trotter poked at the snugly embedded instrument. Curry reached over and pulled it out for him. She placed it delicately in his grasp.
For the last time, Scorpio said, don't make me do this.
Clavain sat down next to him, crossing his legs.
It's all right, Scorp. Just do what she says,
I've a few tricks up my sleeve she doesn't know about. She won't be able to block all my commands, even if she thinks she can.
Tell him that, if you think it makes it easier for him, Skade said.
He's never lied to me, Scorpio said. I don't think he'd start now.
The white instrument sat in his hand, absurdly light, an innocent little surgical tool. There was no evil in the thing itself, but at that moment it felt like the focus of all the inchoate badness in the universe, its pristine whiteness part of the same sense of malignity. Titanic possibilities were balanced in his palm. He could not hold the instrument the way its designers had intended. All the same, he could still manipulate it well enough to do harm. He supposed it did not really matter to Clavain how skillfully the work was done. A certain imprecision might even help him, dulling the white-hot edge of the pain Skade intended.
"How do you want me to sit?" Clavain asked.
"Lie down," Skade said, "on your back. Hands at your sides."
Clavain positioned himself.
"Anything else?"
"That's up to you. If you have anything you want to say, now would be a good time. In a little while, you might find it difficult."
"Only one thing," Clavain said.
Scorpio moved closer. The dreadful task was almost upon him.
"What is it, Neville? When this is over, don't waste any time. Get Aura to safety. That's really all I care about."
He paused, licked his lips. Around them the fine growth of his beard glistened with a haze of beautiful white crystals.
"But if there's time, and if it doesn't inconvenience you, I'd ask you to bury me at sea."
"Where?"
Scorpio asked.
"Here," Clavain said, "as soon as you can. No ceremony. The sea will do the rest."
There was no sign that Skade had heard him, or cared what he had to say.
"Let's start," she said to Jacotet. "Do exactly as I tell you. Oh, and Curry."
"Yes?"
the woman asked.
"You really don't have to watch this. She's my daughter," she said. "I'm staying right here until I get her back."
Then she turned to Clavain, and Scorpio sensed a vast private freight of communication pass between them. Perhaps it was more than just his imagination. After all, they were both conjoiners now.
"It's all right,"
Clavain said aloud. Curry knelt down and kissed him on the forehead.
"I just wanted to say thank you."
Behind her, Skade's hand moved over the hollow clavier again. Outside the iceberg, on the spreading fringe of whiteness, Urton looked at Vasco the way a teacher would look at a truant child.
"You took your time," she said.
Vasco fell to his knees. He vomited. It came from nowhere with no warning. It left him feeling excavated, husked out. Urton knelt down on the ice next to him.
"What is it? What's happening?"
Her voice was urgent. But he couldn't speak. He wiped a smear of vomit from his chin. His eyes stung. He felt simultaneously ashamed and liberated by his reaction, as if in that awful admission of emotional weakness, he had also found an unsuspected strength. In that moment of hollowing, that moment in which he felt the core of himself evacuated, he knew that he had taken a step into the adult world that Urton and Jacotet thought was theirs alone. Above, the sky was a purple-gray bruise. The sea roiled, gray phantasms slipping between the waves.
"Talk to me, Vasco," she said.
He pushed himself to his feet. His throat was raw, his mind as clear and clean as an evacuated airlock.
"Help me with the incubator," he said.